Prepare for action! Prepare for adventure! Prepare for exposition and an expedition on the quest for the Quantum Rose!
And welcome back to Quest for the Quantum Rose. When last we left our heroes, they had just returned to the planet Nyx and reported success in the retaking of the Proud Rock, but defeat in that they had accidentally shot the magic item, the Aegis Carillion.
It wasn't me.
One of the three artifacts of the Goddesses of Time that was supposed to reinforce the fabric of the universe and stop Omnialus from collapsing time into a singularity. Oopsie!
Well, I mean, if it's broken, he can't use it.
Well, that's true, but he might find another way that doesn't invoke those that ritual. But
there
it doesn't mean that
we have to go kill him.
Yeah, so he's still a very major threat, and you have, while you have denied him this avenue, and you have also denied yourself the reinforcement of this thing. So it's kind of a double-edged sword here. Even though it was a shield.
Yeah.
We didn't even plan on it. That was because of a critical hit.
Oh, I know. And nobody's saying that accidents don't happen. But
no,
you're
but
still
you're
technically...
nagging us pretty damn hard.
I'm not nagging. I'm not saying anything.
I'm surprised a shield couldn't take a blaster bolt is what I'm surprised... A shield couldn't take falling on the ground.
No,
That's what I'm surprised about.
You literally crit through the guy.
It's just a testament to how much damage you can do with that broken-ass sniper build of yours.
But also in a dead magic zone, so it was a perfectly mundane piece of metal.
Yeah, that too.
Hey, Calla, we need to fix up a bunch of fuck ton of holes in the ship.
The deck plates are actually built to withstand blaster fire. That shield, absent the magic, was largely ceremonial.
Oh no.
Yeah.
We can carry on now.
Yeah. So, like, just to give you a little bit of insight into the ritual that is described in the data sheet that you pulled down for the time crystal, it involves striking this thing gently with the time crystal to create a resonance among the other steps in the process. It's not really meant to be shot at.
Well, you see, that's what happens when you build for pretty and not for functional.
Well, it makes a shield around the universe. Do you see? It's symbolic. Like, it's all magic.
So it creates a magical Dyson sphere?
Okay, so... literally, it puts the shape on things and makes them separate from other things.
It's a metaphor.
So it stops... It basically puts, like, a force field between individual moments in space-time, so everything happens instead of just happening. Yes?
Right. Okay.
So, now that we've had that impromptu Arcana check...
I'm glad we auto-crit it.
Well, I will say this. You could definitely have had a lot of time to have a chat with the drow guards that have been kindly but firmly escorting you around the grounds. They're not mad per se. They're worried for Granny because she's in a bit of a tizzy still trying to figure out how to fix this thing. But you do get a lot of background on the nature and scope of the power of this thing just from hearing the tales told. Belly also goes on to say that the last time that anybody had tried to basically mend a tool of this magnitude, it was also probably one of the last few times that anybody had done the convocation of the four elements.
You know, I don't even know what that is, and I've never learned. So, like, I'm just going to say above table, even if I crit an Arcana check, there's no way I could possibly know that.
I'm going to want you to make an intelligence check, actually, because you have heard of this.
Oh, wait. Okay, do you mind if I borrow this for an intelligence check? Sorry. Is this just a straight intelligence check?
Well, I'm not going to give you proficiency. Well, okay, you know, it happened to you. I'll just...
Is it a gay intelligence check?
Valerie probably would have found it so.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, if it's just int, then no proficiency.
I see you, like, face-palming in the background over there.
Oh, dang it. I rolled her on face thing instead of my own. I'm going to be cursed for the night. Let me curse for the night. I got a 6.
Okay.
Like I said, I have no clue.
So after Val being clueless, I'm going to say probably Willow's going to chime in here and remind you of the goddess of Kemet on her shoe.
Who?
The shield maiden of the past, the first supernatural entity that set you on this quest in the first place back in the desert.
Oh. Deities. Ew.
Yeah, literally your first mission. Right? Yeah, like, remember, the first job as soon as you arrived after getting gaining control of the hero's journey. This is like episode 3 shit.
In my defense of not remembering this, Willow, that was like, what? How many weeks and how many drinks ago?
Yeah. Plus, she also spent a couple of days unconscious, so.
Yeah, I'm sure the anesthetic wrecked her memory.
Yeah. Plus, again, Willow just brushes her hair back just a little bit and just looks at her hairline and just goes, well, maybe some wiring got crossed up there, deleted a few memories. When you got that surgery in there, you never know with station jobs.
Belly will wave this off.
Yeah,
the shorthand version is this. Periodically, and it didn't ever follow on any one star system's calendar because fuck that, but every so often as decreed by the goddesses, there would be a convocation of the temples of the four elements. They would meet in a neutral location. They would bring an offering of the element of their assignment, and they would perform the rites to reinforce magic in the universe. Now, what most people don't know is that this actually was intended to literally, in a very tangible sense, reinforce the magic of the universe. The Temple of the Elements fell into ruin and out of popularity about 5 centuries ago, and there hasn't been a convocation in almost as long. And so now we have all these dead magic zones popping up like holes in moth-eaten stockings.
Is the universe where magic sorcerers come from?
No. Good question. No, but good question. This is where dead magic comes from. These holes in the world where there's no life in it.
The good places.
No. It literally unravels the universe in these places. It goes slow, but the dead magic is just the first symptom.
Oh.
We've been kind of trepidatious about what's going to happen if this keeps up. We haven't been able to continue doing the convocation since we lost Poseidon.
Oh.
Poseidon, of course, was the elemental water temple. And when its sun went nova and the planet went with it, well, things were never the same again.
Oh, jeez.
It's about this time you realize that Belly sounds like she's talking from experience, and this drow is way the fuck older than she looks.
I mean, above table. I know people hate the water temple, but did you have to destroy the water temple, babe? Did Legend of Zelda hurt you that bad?
Spoilers.
Okay. Back in table.
Right. So yeah, but it would require a ritual of that magnitude at least to try and repair an artifact of this power. So gotcha. Hang on a minute. And she'll, like, tilt her head to one side as if she were receiving a message and, like, gesture that she'll be right back and head out the door. And basically she left you kind of like in the observation lounge of Granny's estate. It's basically a really weird cubist lake house, for lack of a better term, right? It's right there on the water, lots of window facing, you know, like glass facing the water's edge, a lot of really weird hard angles that kind of bend in strange ways when you don't look at them directly, right? Like the entire place feels a little bit fish-eyed at the periphery of your vision. It's very strange, and your magic keeps like dipping in and out because you're standing literally on the boundary line of a massive magic zone inside of a dead magic zone.
Yeah, I'm leaning on Willow a little bit because like I can still walk, but I feel like I'm being like pretty hobbled.
You're probably pretty stoned, honestly, like just from the sensation of having the magic field jumping up and down like that. It's playing merry hell with your implants.
This is why you always go dwarf tech. Oh, no, sorry. Gnome tech if you can.
Yeah, you're really, really out of it, aren't you?
Yeah, like, I can't afford this body, but you'd think the Coalition could at least afford a gnome tech body. Oh, my God.
They would never, ever give the gnomes the satisfaction of developing a contract for the human hegemony. Well, the coalition, maybe as like a payment deal, but not definitely not the hedge money.
Oh yeah, that was an absolutely out of the question thing. I'm just sitting here like, cheap bastards. They expect me to be their medical officer, and they put me in this.
I think you put yourself in that.
No, I didn't send the replicators to my home planet.
No, but you have continued to upgrade it.
No, because I'm swapping out for things I can afford and I own. I'm ship of Theseus-ing myself.
Okay, so Belly is going to poke her head in sideways at that and be like, hey, y'all can follow me, please.
We'll help guide the slightly stoned sniper.
Okay. So,
hey, Karos, come with us. I think this is important.
I can't tell if I touched something or what.
Oh, sorry.
So, Belly will lead you out and like down a footpath that kind of walks around the lake's edge and down to a different dock. And this one actually leads into what looks like the best way to describe it is just like a covered path that goes under the lake. So it walks down like a subway would with a covered path, and then you are suddenly under the water. You can see there are like no fish in this water. It's pristine almost. There's like the glimmer of that that hot pink phosphorescent algae that's in all the water here apparently. But aside from that, it's crystal clear in here. And as you get to the end of it, you see like a dim blue glow kind of pulsing in the water like underneath your feet, because the view, it's like it's a glass canopy, like imagine like Subnautica, right? All made but like all glass corridors, and it's heading kind of at this downward slope, so it's gradual, but like the water around you starts getting darker and darker, and then it starts getting brighter but underlit, so you have this kind of a pale blue glow lighting you from beneath. And as you come to the end of this corridor, you see this wide round room with an arcane dais, basically, for lack of a better term, with what looks like a chalkboard's worth of sigils and scribbles and markings and etchings and math and some other stuff that nobody really understands, no matter what your arcana check is. And you see in the middle of this is Granny, like sitting in the middle of this dais with like a bag, like a climber's bag of chalk sticks in her hand, and she looks up at you. Her normally like really tight, well cut hair is a frazzle, and she looks at you and she says, there's no other way for it. You have to bring together the five. We haven't had one of those since the second Genesis. Belly's going to look at you and realize that you're probably a little bit lost, and she says, okay, so you remember the four Okay, well, there was a higher ritual that called for the fifth element that was used during the initial forging of this reality. This galaxy, this dimension here, is kind of self-contained. And, well, I don't know how much about this I can really tell you, but suffice it to say that there's more. More than almost any mage knows. And we've never had to do this magic in living memory. Nobody has. But y'all are going to have to find a way. But wait a minute. Granny, how can they possibly make this happen without the water? And Promethea is going to look up and she says, you kids are going to have to fuck around with time. There's no other way for it. And she's just going to like sob and break down and look around at the equations around her and realizing that like this may in fact actually kill her from the strain, but you're going to have to fuck with time and give her the worst headache of all. She'll go on to explain to you that anytime there's an event that tries to change the timeline, it basically gives her splitting migraines as time forks and her brain tries to decide which way to go.
Oh, jeez.
So looking into the future is okay because it's just, it's faint and indeterminate, but in the moment when it splits and tries to change itself from what it's supposed to be, it gives her problems. And so that's why she is basically staying here in this dead magic zone for most of her life, because it shields her from the effects of her sight being able to do that. And she has agents out there working to stop temporal events. And now here she has to ask you to fuck with time. So, Belly, I have some instructions for them. Please go send a message to Dr. Boas. We're going to need his help for this. And she'll walk out of the room. And Promethea will look up at you and she'll tell you all. Since this is time travel, you can do this when you want, more or less, as long as you get it done. If you need to go prepare, go prepare. If you need to go get stronger, get stronger. But when you go, you must not fail. If you change the timeline in the wrong way, you could destroy everything. You could ensure his success again. You could just obliviate the universe, tear it apart. Please be very careful. Belly will give you the briefing and the rules, but I need to warn you. Don't try and enrich yourselves. Don't try and contact any family. Especially do not try and contact yourselves. Try not to change the known. As long as you can work within that, you may be able to succeed. Now, please leave me to prepare. I have something I have to do.
Yes, sir.
Yes, well. All right.
Okay. So, as you all file out and Belly gets off of the radio with her compatriot upstairs in the radio tower, she'll look around at you and she'll say, okay, so we have had a contingency plan in place for something like this. Really hoped we'd never have to use it. But you're going to have to go talk to Dr. Boas and figure out how to move you around in time. We can't generate that kind of magic here. We can't push all of you around and the ships that you'll need and all the equipment you might need. Gods. Without some outside help.
I mean, have you considered, like, vows of still a bit hazy due to being on and off? Have you considered using wormholes and just, you know, twist and dilute it and just, you know...
I know Dr. Boas will have a method, but we can't do it right here.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, right here. Yeah.
Yeah, where you're literally fading in and out, and we'll
yeah,
just
no,
pat
you're,
on the shoulder.
Yeah, it's kind of like a... Kind of got like a circumneurotic headache right now.
No, it's
if
just...
If anybody has like a space aspirin...
It's just that the scale of power needed to push you all around in time like that is just not something we can support in the midst of a dead magic zone, even with one with a little pocket of regular magic underneath. Which anybody who was in that room, just you will have noticed at the bottom of the floor, like kind of like encased in what looks like a glass dome almost, or a crystal dome, was it was, for lack of a better term, I guess you would call it like a hypercube. It was a slowly rotating four-dimensional object in space that no matter which way you were appearing to look at it, it was kind of a consistently turning itself inside out box. And it was what was putting off that eerie blue light. And I'll let anybody who wants to try and make an arcana check and to try and figure out what that might be.
Val's just going to be assuming it's part of whatever's giving her a headache, too.
Oh.
Well, I have no idea.
You did. You rolled crit fail and crit success on your...
Heaven and hell.
The duality of man
and hell. The other ones were occupied.
15.
I'm not going to roll one.
Don't bomb me.
Bummer.
Well, I mean, if you want me to. Why not? What's the worst that'll happen? I know things.
Oh no, you'll know something.
Very out of character.
Alright.
16.
Respectable. Cax, are you doing one?
Okay.
Yay.
Let's see. It wasn't Organa? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
13.
Okay. Alright, so, Boomsquid and Valerie, I guess, since you were the two that got above a 15, or at a 15. You only recall dimly hearing about the name of this thing. You know it's called a tesseract.
That's exactly what I was going to say that earlier, but I was just like, you know,
it's also
pop that on you. I know it is like a mathematical shape and all that.
It's also known as the hypercube. You don't know what one would be doing here on a planetary surface, considering they're supposed to be like absolutely massive sources of like are basically arcane radiant energy, right?
No. Given Granny and all of her like messed up whatever we do, this makes absolute
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, all this means is this we makes, should probably get away before whatever it is implodes.
This is going to like give this is going to keep giving me an arcane headache the closer I am to it, given my synapses are binded to circuitry.
Well, you
I'm blaming it on this whether it is it or not. That's the thing.
Near as you can figure, it's the only thing that was potent enough to withstand being in the presence of a dead magic zone because it generates its own.
Ah.
It like literally is a fold in space-time that generates magic as a consequence of its passage through time.
So the closer I get to it, the more my headache will go away.
Maybe, or you might explode.
I think it's more likely to make you explode.
Yeah, like wild magic events happen way close to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's kept in basically like a water cooling tower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
This lake is basically a giant nuclear cooling tower.
Demo training says nothing even remotely magical near one of these things. Unless you want to go boom.
I don't know. Should I take the advice of someone whose call sign is Boom Squid about explosions? I think I will, actually.
Yeah.
But you figure this might be the only thing that is that allows Granny to turn off her self-imposed exile against the site when she needs to. So here in her little recluse nook down here, she can actually get some work done.
I get the feeling Granny has like 20 levels in 3 separate classes.
Granny transcends class.
I would just expect.
Which is Bulls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bulls Granny might be one of those beings that if you looked behind the sunglasses, you would regret it.
I look behind the sunglasses, I'll be staring the DM in the eyes, which is great for the player, but for the character, they would in fact unravel.
All right.
Willow's actually going to turn to Belly. I'm just like, is she going to be okay?
I mean, maybe.
She should be fine.
She's okay. You need to understand, like, I don't know what that right would do to her just in terms of the drain. It could kill her. I don't know that she would be able to survive a convocation of the four necessarily if she were to have to participate. You know, usually all the supplicants were, you know, champions. They were healthy people. Like, she's powerful, yes, but she's very, very elderly.
She's kind of up there.
Don't tell her I said that. She'll kill me.
Part of me gets the feeling she could read your mind and figure it out anyways.
Is there any way to make it easier on her?
She actually needs line of sight, so...
We do need to make it easier because I want her to survive, but not too easy. She did throw me 40 feet. She deserves a little pain for that one.
I mean,
Willow Gibbs slaps Val in the back of the head for that.
You didn't say I was wrong.
if we had enough potent spellcasters, which I'm sorry to say you're not yet.
Oh God, I don't want to be.
Do we even have enough spellcasting with us to actually do this?
Oh, what about Spark?
I just don't think you'll...
Zap.
Yeah, okay.
Zap's the top.
Zap.
Zap's the most powerful spellcaster in our party.
Zap is the highest spellcaster in your party. However, yes, one laser corgi who cannot speak is not a good candidate for...
ritual that involves words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
come on. You
can hear him in the background like, the hell I'm not.
Oh, come on, Zap. Aren't you going to help? I say Zap has been more useful than I have been.
No.
Yeah, just long story short, you would definitely need to become stronger at least... before you could weather the burden of being a supplicant. It's not outside the realm of possibility, especially since, you know, you have to go bring, I guess, what, five now? You have to bring together five fucking elements. Oh my God.
So wait, she said something about a fifth element, and I'm a little in and out here. Did she say what the fifth one was?
Okay, so walk with me. And she's going to, like, lead you up out of the pool.
I stumbled and almost fall.
And back. Yeah, it was easy. Watch your step. So, most of base existence can be handled with just the materials of creation, right? Your four fundamental elements: earth, water, fire, air. These, for lack of a better term, are kind of conceptual building blocks that they use to make stuff and things, but to conceptualize all of this and to realize it into a gestalt, as into an entirety, you need an awareness, a consciousness. You need a spirit. You need K, and that's what you have to go find. Is you have to go find the element of K.
I'm glad I'm recording this because I'm not comprehending it.
I can give you historical records that show the locations of where everything was the last time they had a convocation of the four. You're going to have to find somehow to uncover the history of where that fifth element was, because it's been lost even to our archives.
Whatever you give us, make sure it can't be copied. We don't need Nihilus and his goons somehow getting our ship and stuff and copying the files.
You speak wisdom, but I would suggest perhaps committing yourself to memory.
Right.
Let Willow look at and remember that everything I see, most everything I see gets recorded one way or another and can be taken in case of court martial.
Okay, so for the purposes of your data grab, when you get back to the lake house, Belly will pull up basically like a projection of the galaxy, like one of those top-down. It's the map, right?
Right.
It's the map. I'm turning on the map. I'm dragging y'all to the map. Okay, so let's fix you, because you're right now, you're in Nyx, so you're about here. So the four elemental conclave temples were housed in various different parts of the galaxy. So Paradise One, what is now called Paradise One, had the Earth Element Temple. Poseidon had the Water Temple. The planet Ravage held fire. And of course, the Aviara Holy Lands. And the name of the planet was lost, but it's right about here, midway between these two maw stations here. So it was about here in the galaxy. So you have some unknown territory to get into, but it may help you to remember that Anhershu, the goddess of Kemet, was at one point the bearer, the supplicant for that particular element, and as such may be a resource for further investigation. Since she's still around, it might be helpful for you to pay her a visit. And honestly, there's no real good reliable information about where the last planet was, except to say that it was somewhere here in like the southern reaches where there is now like pretty big dead magic zones, but it is somewhere in this general vicinity of the southern central quadrant. Right, so kind of in between. Hang on, let me see if I can draw you a box here. Yes, I can. All right, so kind of in this general vicinity. So if you're going to start your exploration, you may wish to try Martax. You may wish to try Hytera. Don't go near Sol. It's dead magic. If you absolutely have to go there, use gnome tech or find passage on a gnomish ship. Also, the people there aren't very advanced, so be careful.
I mean, my trainer back at the Ranger Regiment was a gnome. And he tried to teach me a little bit about gnome tech. I didn't pay as much attention as I should have, but I think I have a guy. Maybe.
Yeah. If we need to get to Ravage, I can probably pull some contacts with Grax. I have a few people who owe me a favor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that. Paradise One looks doable. I don't think we need any special permissions that we couldn't get between any of us.
Right, but it's still Elven space. They're kind of a little
touchy,
prickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
genocidal. Yeah,
and Poseidon is going to be.
They're not. A word about the Elvish Empire in this verse. They're not full blown Thalmor, but they are kind of assholes.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Yeah,
like they definitely are the white and gold and face masks and too beautiful to let you look at them, you heathen.
Yeah, blood elf.
Oh, I am gonna throw a mud on an elf, and I'm gonna like that is not a that's not like a turn of phrase. I'm literally gonna pick up some mud and throw it on an elf.
There, yeah.
Roll initiative versus 300 elves.
Let's go.
It's like
every one of them's a better spellcaster than you are. Oh,
that's okay. I'm like, not a primary spellcaster. I'm a
it's like cast. it's like that one meme of someone accidentally spilling a Warhammer Fantasy Dwarf's beer. It's like you pause, like seething rage. You okay, dude? They have wronged us, but more elegantly.
You're darn right I did.
And with tree spaceships. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I get the feeling that somewhere in the Elven Empire, or the Dwarven Conclave, somewhere between one of those two places, someone has a bourbon that's been aging since near the dawn of time. Not exactly the dawn of time, but near it.
Ah, that would be the planet Mead Hall.
Yeah.
Now you got me looking for it.
It's in the Dwarven Conclave, opposite to Jotunheim.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah.
Out of character, I, Marianne, want to go to this planet.
Who doesn't
I'm
want
sure
to go to Meat Hall?
Val has it as a dream destination.
What?
I'm sure it's Val's dream destination.
Honestly, Val would absolutely die to go there. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So.
Her 21st birthday
was
there.
Kind of out for us.
Belly will kind of like pull the focus back to just the Nyx system itself, though. Mm-hmm. Like zoom in tight on its own star system, and you see that while the planet that you're on here is like pretty close into the orbit of the star. It's about third out. There is a massive orbital, like exterior asteroid belt that hangs around, probably about 40 or 50 AUs from the star. And like one of those asteroids, it's going to get highlighted and zoom in tight, and you'll see the label. It's Space Station Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, and then the name below that, Dr. Nicola Bolas, Director of R&D. Pause for reaction. I see you like holding it in over there, Marianne.
You know, I was holding in something worse before this, and I'm glad you pulled it to Nicol Bolas now.
That name's so weird.
Because
he's an edgy boy. Like that was not his given. That was not his given name.
I mean, but
yeah,
the funny speaker, the part Bolas, it's really disturbing, but yeah.
You tell, because I was not previously aware of this. This makes it even better.
It means balls in Spanish.
Bolas?
Nicole's balls.
Dr. Nick Balls. Hi, everybody!
I want to sit on this as the English the English being Nicole's balls, so Nicole Bolas is trans, confirmed.
Oh, God. All right. So the good thing is it's not even a dark matter jump to reach Dr. Bolas' station. However, it will be a couple of hours at least navigating and actively navigating the system. As I'm sure you're no doubt aware, it's a bit holy out there, and so you'll be having to take it a little bit slow, especially with two ships, one of them rather bigger than the other. So when you head out, there is a series of marker buoys out there. I suggest you stick close to them. They will like show you where the magic is and where the magic is not.
Is Callum with us, by the way? Because I saw a thing in the chat that's just like, I got the railgun working again. Is Callum with us, or is Callum working on
something? No, I think Callum fucked off and decided to work on repairing the ships. And I think maybe sent Zap as her ambassador again.
No, I'm... And we've got... She's on... Cal's on speakerphone hearing this.
All right.
Cal's our pilot. She's the one who needs to know this more than any of us.
You notice that the comm link shows muted and deafened.
Oh. We can just tell. Yeah, we can just tell her.
Send the emoji for motherfucker before hanging up.
What? Hold on. There is such a thing? Like, we're going to go with that? Like,
there not in this kind of a galaxy?
The technology's advanced this far. Are you sure humanity wouldn't come up with a motherfucker emoji?
If it's not official, it would have to have been invented by now.
I'm sure it is.
You know what? It's a custom emoji and it's of Callus' face.
Pulling back.
Alright. So, I'm afraid I don't have anything really to prepare you with to send you on this quest, as it were. But I will say this. Dr. Bolas also has like the good word on any like merc work you may want to pick up before you do this. I understand that time is somewhat flexible in this situation. Like, Belly kind of looks as perplexed as you are, because like this is a very unusual situation, even for somebody that's seen as much shit as she has. Yeah. I just saw the Discord and you... I'm so glad that I decided to make that Kalahari's icon. The fuck my life guy.
Okay, that reminds me, I still need to put that on the server, on like the RPG game server. I'm so sorry.
Oh, heck. Okay, so I need to try and...
Okay. I'm currently messing around with maps. So, yeah, how's the repair coming there, Captain Kala? While everybody else is getting briefed on the situation, what are you up to?
Probably hanging upside down, wrenching into the next piece of armor, trying to replace the holes.
Very good. Go ahead and, what is it, a technology check?
To DC 15.
Okay.
And I do have, of course, the ship maintenance tool, so is that with proficiency?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Actually, if you're proficient with tech and the ship maintenance tools, you get double your proficiency.
Ooh, expertise.
Lovely.
So,
ergo, Kala is going to succeed this check. We just gotta watch her roll.
Yeah. I mean, worst case, when I'm back at the ship, I literally can't fail this roll.
Something tells me Kala just succeeded it.
29?
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Barely make it.
Skull!
Skull. Alright. So, yeah, you all finish your briefing with Belly and are sent on your way with the understanding that Dr. Bolas ought to have a solution for exactly how you were meant to fuck with time, as Greeny so eloquently put it.
Right. Before they end up leaving, Bolas is going to just sort of tap Kyraeus and just slyly sort of just like imply that she wants to pass Val off to them real quick so she can go do something.
I'll just like cradle Val in one big arm.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, let's get you back to the ship.
Do we have? Is there an aspirin on the ship? You know what? Yeah, wait, yeah, I'm.
You have.
Wait a second. Like I have my own like utility belt. I'm just like, here we go. Pop an aspirin and just like pull from the canteen. Like,
all right. Instantly reminded of one of the scenes from BioShock 2.
Oh, which scene?
The one where the big daddy literally hauls up one of the girls on his shoulder.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you would, y'all would be just like the cutest, like big daddy little sister pair.
In the back of her mind, Willow is like, this is probably a common scene for the two of them.
Yeah, this is totally something that happens to them on the regular, especially since Val is like smaller and easier to get drunk.
Mm-hmm. But also, like if Kyraeus gets really fucked up, the suit still kind of works.
Again,
I can just walker your suit back for you too.
Again, the Andromeda comparison is there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not drunk. I'm just having like a synaptic migraine due to the fact that like half my body's flickering on and off constantly,
including half your brain.
Actually, sorry, 94% of my body actually.
As soon as they're well on their way off, we'll
right?
just.
What?
I mean, that's not a disease, right?
What'd you say?
What you are experimenting, right? It's not a disease.
No, it's not a disease. It's
It's a symptom.
The people who made my body made it on the cheap. Ergo, Dead Magic Films, fuck with it.
Yeah, as soon as they're well off, Willow's just, like, the whole time she just sort of is just walking backwards, just really quietly. And then he just turns to.
Unhook my arm and just tie it around you so I don't fall down.
And Will just looks around, just looks for Belly. Is Belly still around?
Well, I was going to say, is y'all were walking away towards, like, back in the direction of the ship. So, like, if you want to have, like, last words with Belly before you lose sight of her, you can. But,
wow.
Basically, Willow's like, she'll escort you, like, back from the boat, like, back to the dock, which leads up to the landing pads.
Willow actually was wanting to have words with Granny, and was looking for Belly to just sort of escort them back. But if she's taking them off, then just go by herself.
The expectation would be that you would want to get started, like, you know, right away.
Right, but Willow has questions.
Well, that's fine. You can, like, Belly will take questions now.
Not for Belly.
well.
Billy hasn't seen multiple iterations of the universe.
Okay. Like, she's kind of super... Fine, come on.
Right. So if Billy was escorting them, Willow would have just gone quietly on her own.
Well, I mean, like, it was kind of the expectation that you would be getting underway, but if you have more that you feel like you absolutely have to talk to her about, then, you know, go ahead and get it on.
Yeah. Sorry, it's this backstory stuff.
That's fine.
Right. So, yeah, Willow's going to try and just look for, just to see if she can find Granny and talk to her.
So you find her exactly where you left her, which is at the bottom of the lake, like working on the scribbles, and she kind of looks up in surprise and like a little bit of like, not quite annoyance exactly, but I guess puzzlement. Like, why are you still here?
I just wanted to come back and just call it a space was paranoia or something. Just wanted to make sure you're okay.
Okay. And, child, there's nothing about this that's okay. I mean, the universe is at stake here, and like our shield is broken, and we're going to have to fuck with time. And it's just nothing about this is okay. But we'll get through it.
Okay. You know that. Uncharted waters. Same thing happens on repeat, and now there's a hiccup. And it's time stuff. It's bigger than my space trucker ass. Will walks up and just sort of sits across, like, next, like, in front of Granny.
Okay, so, like, you basically, like, scoot up on the edge of the magic dais.
Yeah, just not to mess up. Just close enough to just talk to her and just let her know that I'm here. But not close enough to mess up the writing. Because I know she's been chalk scribbling, like, all over.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
So I would get close enough to the dais to where she would just... It would just be, like, the physical reassurance of just a presence near her. But not so close enough to fuck up the chalk writing that she's been working on.
So she'll look a little nervy, but see that you're trying to be considerate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is it you need, child?
Well, just quiet for a while. She goes, before we screw everything up, you'd seen this happen before, right? Or you at least had some awareness of it.
It's not like I wasn't there. It's like, right. It's like ripples, echoes. It's memories from a life that was another mine.
She nods.
The time is cyclical, right? And my gift allows me to see all of that flat disc kind of at once sometimes. And my other versions of me have very vivid memories sometimes. Very loud ones. So sometimes I remember things wrongly, or sometimes I see things that were memories that change. But I know the truth when it happens, and I know this was not expected in this timeline. You managed to do what I thought was impossible. So maybe you can do it again.
Let's just hope that it's a good change then, I guess.
Just remember, you can't change the known.
Trust me. Well, I mean, she looks down at her hand, just turns it over, just curls it. I wouldn't want to change this for anything.
And then you'll see, like, that wrinkly old elf lady hand, like, pat yours, like, reach out and pat yours, and she'll say, but child, there are some things that are true and that no one knows.
She nods.
On your way now.
But she just pauses. One last thing, Granny.
Yes.
It's something that's been bothering me. The last two fights that we've had with these things. And it's always been with always been with something that's connected to and she just sort of looks at her, just rubs the back of her head where that tingling sensation is. Sometimes something that related to how I got this, got my current state of affairs,
the new body
and the powers, and most specifically the teleporting. The past two encounters, the Rothians on the ship, and before that, what really started it, what really has me just really has my brain working at times. We met an Illithid who was with the Church of the Void. He said something that I have, what did he say? He said that I've been touched by the Void.
You'll see, like, at the mention of the Illithid, you'll see, like, her eyebrows, like, beetle together, like, what the fuck? And you'll see, kind of, like, as you continue talking, and when you mention about how you have been touched by the Void, you'll see, kind of, like, that knowing, sad smile. Child, I don't think I'm the one to explain that to you. I think you're going to have to look within and find that answer for yourself. It's not something that anyone else can tell you.
Really just kind of sighs and is like, you know, I expected you to say that and you couldn't tell me because it would just mess up the fabric of reality or change the timeline even further.
I'm allowed to tell people things, but this is not something for me to know you. This is something that you have to find. You're on the precipice of something tremendous right now. Don't be afraid. Well, not of this. There's plenty of things to be afraid of out there. Without being afraid of this, too.
Oh.
Just remember, just because it's the Void doesn't mean it's necessarily bad.
I know. It's just... I'm just curious, I guess.
Well, keep that up. Feel yourself out. Stretch your wings, as it were. Expand your abilities. Practice. These gifts were given for a reason. You're going to do great things.
No pressure, right?
Hey, you've got the backing of some of the goddesses of creation. How could you lose?
Well, when you put it that way, one leap of faith doesn't look too bad. I've already taken that plunge before.
Atta girl.
And Willow just sort of slaps her knees and just stands to her feet and just...
Now go get back to that girlfriend of yours and tell her to lay off the hooch.
I'll do my best. I try to rein her in, but you know what they say about Spitfires?
They fly to the left? Sorry.
Well, just smirks and shakes her head and just turns, but then looks over her shoulder before she leaves and just says like one last little just quiet goodbye and then just starts up the steps. Hands in her pockets.
And scene. So we change our focus now back to the rest of the crew as Willow is walking up to catch up with the rest of them. Go ahead.
I do have a question. Can I communicate with the Hive or my queen?
There's not like any kind of inbuilt telepathy feature for the species as a whole, but I'm sure you could like reach out with like an actual like message and try and, you know, write home, as it were.
Yeah, because I would like to have words with my queen, because the moment time travel was mentioned, the face of Cactus that it's barely moving, it's challenged.
Oh.
I just had the mental image of you asking Zap to send to talk to your queen, and then all there is just barks that she hears in her mind.
What's an email? Where's the paper? I don't get it.
It's just I'm imagining this too, and I'm just like this giant sapient bug queen is just like
Queen Atraxia is just getting.
How did you get this number?
In her head.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't cast a spirit animals.
I'm sorry, I just ruined the scene.
Oh, that's,
do not apologize for beauty.
That was genius. Of a silly, ridiculous kind. Mm-hmm. No, so yeah, if you would like to, actually, you can avail yourself of the telecommunications equipment they have here and shoot off a relay for a message.
Yeah. It is working here, right?
Yeah, the telecom stuff here is gnome tech based because it's outside of the it's in their dead magic periphery, so they have to relay it up to the orbit before it'll get out on a magic on ArcanaNet. So it starts out as just a message like on like regular gnome tech satellite up, and then they relay it out of the system. Needlessly complex for a game perhaps, but hey, this is the universe I'm building, so fuck everybody. No, so do you have a planet or a star system or somewhere in mind that you're transmitting this to, or are you just addressing this to the queen and hoping it gets there?
I'm pretty sure I know where the queen is, but or the queen was.
Okay.
I'll say
without delving too much into the meat of it right now, but we're gonna write this down later. I'll say that you can go ahead and address a message, like in a one-way communication fashion.
Okay.
Just to like request an audience, but probably what you'll end up getting is like a majordomo or a functionary or some vizier or some fuckery to stand in the way of you and your queen at first. But you'll get the reply back, like, you know the queen is very busy and does not have time for phone and appointments, so you may have to step up the urgency a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, do you compose a reply?
I do.
Okay. What do you compose in the reply?
Well, so it's gonna be short because it's cactus, but it will be something along the lines, because I've been very sure of everything I've done since I first stood up in my four legs, and for the first time I have doubts, because I don't know if I can tackle a situation where I have to time travel and be disconnected of the universe or world I was born in. And I will request, if possible, the use of a like more experienced or better suited knight, unless it's the will of the queen to keep me in this mission, then I will just comply. But yeah.
Okay, so you don't get any answer back for some time, and it's like it's like close to like an hour or so before y'all are ready to lift off, actually, right? But when the reply comes back, it doesn't come back from that same jackass. You actually have like the personal seal of the queen herself on this, and the directive is pretty curt, but the message runs: every drone must swarm, spread our hive, prevail in all trials. You must do this thing for the glory of the hive.
That's all I need. I'm not challenged anymore.
The glory of the hive.
So you do have now the explicit endorsement of your queen to ride the evil time magic and do what must be done to save the universe, because if you don't, the hive might not exist.
Okay.
Don't tempt me.
Oh, I just read that.
Kalahari over here, like, trying to throw grandfather paradoxes into my game.
Mm-hmm. I'm asking if it's gonna happen. That's all I said.
Well, I'm telling you spoilers. Don't ask questions you don't want the early answers to.
All right. I guess the only thing I'm doing to prep for this is to see if they'll let us, they'll loan out the same gnome tech we used for that previous mission. Or if they're just like, no, we got to keep that in the armory.
I'm going to say is that for this, like,
you will be able to, like, actually, like, full-on purchase gnome tech of this caliber at Dr. Bolas's station.
Okay.
From, like, from the armory there. This stuff has to remain here, and it was only loaned out because it was known that it wasn't leaving this orbital space, right?
Gotcha. Then I just go get all of my medical gear in order and just, you know, I'm just doing that while like stumbling around, but also getting all the medical gear in order. So, you know, I have a cane in my stuff. I'm just going to like use that to just like, okay, keep myself stable.
I feel like I've got a small rodent climbing around me that just desperately wants to say hi to you, Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
Come here.
Hi.
All right, that's enough. On your way. I've got to cut you from my show when you do this. You know that, right?
Well, if you're gonna cut them from his show, then I can go ahead and like.
Did she just Zoidberg out of camera?
She did. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, if you're gonna cut this from the show, get him back over here.
What?
Oh, I want to say. I want. Hey, look. Okay.
After we're done recording, okay?
After done recording, I'll say hi.
All right. Okay, so getting back to the task at hand here, are you all ready for liftoff?
Yep.
Do I have anything you need?
Not going to make the calls from here.
Okay, we'll make the calls out there.
Yeah. Are we piloting the ship separately, or are we keeping the hero's journey docked inside the rock?
Oh, no, you can't do that. The hero's journey is not small enough to fit inside the Proud Rock.
All right.
Okay.
No. You can fit a shuttle and a fighter, but not that ship. Mm. It does not fit.
Okay.
So Kala does want to ask the group, especially since she basically missed most of the poignant information, if we have enough time for a pit stop at a close small station.
I was actually remarking, and since you missed it, I'll recap for you. The asteroid-based space station that Dr. Bolas runs is actually, it's fully outfitted for like any kind of merc work you might have in mind, or, you know, pretty much any kind of business you might want to undertake at a mall station you can do here just about. However, it doesn't require a dark matter jump. It is, in fact, intrasystem. It's based in the asteroid belt at the edge of this star. So you just need a little sublight piloting, but you do have to navigate around a couple more dark or dead magic pockets.
Okay. Well, it's not exactly a problem. We can just have the hero's journey go forward first and use the feelers. Unless we know exactly what the map is, in which case...
You do not. There are some buoys out there, but those are going to require some checks to find them.
So could I recommend that Kala, you pick two people to man the guns on your ship. Willow, you take the hero's journey out ahead and pick someone to man the gun on your ship in case bad stuff happens.
Okay, where's the dog going?
Spark goes where Spark wants to go.
Zap.
Probably with the
Zap.
Does Zap want to stay where his special dog bed is and probably have a smooth ride, or does he want to be in a place where he can potentially claim new territory?
I mean, I'm pretty sure Kala would space him if he tried to pee on the engineering console.
Yeah.
Zap's going with me.
He's not allowed on the engineering console by himself.
You know what? I'm going to go with Willow, man the guns there, and Zap's going to go with us.
Zap is obviously a little offended at the idea that he would pee on the console. Like, come on, he's housebroken. He knows where the head is.
This will be two lesbians and a dog on this ship, okay? Or, so, you know,
I have to whip out for a moment. Has anybody read the manga version of Full Metal Alchemist?
No.
No.
I've watched the show.
There was a bonus comic, like 3-cell comic at the end of one of them, where Hawkeye, the wondrous military she sniper,
Yes.
was given a pet dog to look after, who was named Hayabusa.
Black Hayate,
you're right, I apologize. Mm-hmm. It was Black Hayate. And so you know exactly where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
the dog is in her apartment or in her house, wherever she was, and it starts to go pee in this particular corner. Several bullet holes appear around the dog, and Hawkeye goes, "You don't do that here," points to the paper, and the dog is instantly house trained.
Nice. I don't know if we need to do all of that. Zap is pretty intelligent already and has been housebroken.
Just as a warning to know what's going to happen if it doesn't comply.
Okay. That's totally unnecessary, but, you know, you do.
No, we don't need to be violent with the boy.
Not yet. Violent. I wouldn't hit him yet.
Jesus, this took a turn. All right.
If I have to do medical care on that dog because of the results of one of your team members, I will thoroughly maim whoever did it. I want this noted.
I promise they wouldn't need the dog.
So while you're all talking about murdering the dog or not, I'm going to need piloting checks.
Yay! Yep. I love piloting checks.
Will gets to the seat of the hero's journey, settles in, just sighs. It's a mix of emotions right now. Just puts in her earbuds and clicks on a song, which, if anybody wants it, she'll put on speaker comms. It's Gorilla's Melancholy Hill.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Reaches over and offers you a little aux cable. It's just play for the both of us.
Yeah,
plug in the ship.
Well, we'll plug it in.
All right.
Piloting checks, right?
Up on Melancholy Hill. I can't do that, or we're going to get DC made or something.
Yeah. 19 piloting.
All right. You are able to successfully lift off and pilot the hero's journey without apparent incident from the planet's surface and make it into orbit. Kala?
Kala put it in the chat. It's 26.
Kala did. I see that now.
Didn't want to jump in.
It's good. So, yeah, no, and even for as big of a beast as she is, relatively speaking, and, I think this is, one of the biggest ship classes that can actually do planet-side landing. So, you are also able to lift off the Proud Rock and get her into orbit as well. And now find yourselves in this nice little expanse of space here where we're going to have you attempt to navigate and find your way to the endpoint on the far side here, leading into the outer reaches of this the Nyx system. So I'm going to go ahead and give you control of. Let's see here. Control by all players. Okay, so you should be able to drive the hero's journey, Willow. Mm-hmm. And never mind that thing. We'll just take that out.
Okay. So, one second. No, too far. So the endpoint is right here.
I'm sorry. Do that check again.
So the endpoint is right here.
Yeah, it's in the just anything on the leftmost corner or the leftmost edge of the screen.
Right, just gonna head that way now, I guess.
All right.
So about here-ish.
All right. So you actually start detecting. Right about here, you notice that there is a dimming in the front of your little whiskeries.
Right. So, about here-ish, then?
Yeah. So, yeah, you start noticing a dimming in your whiskers about there.
Right. Start going off to the... off to Lovia there, right there?
Change. Yeah. Okay. So, the dimming in the whiskers continues along the front facing, but you see it slide more to the ship's port side. From what it was, so your lateral movement did noticeably. You're tracing the edge of it.
Right. So I'll just keep tracing along the edge until we get to what we have done.
All right. So you're clear now.
Okay. Clear to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
To about here-ish.
Okay. So I'm going to say that's your movement for this turn, and you can follow behind in the Proud Rock, Kala.
Okay, I was actually about to ask how you wanted me to pull that. So, If we're following suit, it would be here. Stop messing with me. And here.
Yes. And you can feel in the engines, and you see kind of reported on it, at the leftmost engine, you can start to see just a little bit of a power degradation, but it's not a full-on outage. And it does seem as if your ship is like just clipping the barest edge of that particular patch of dead magic. But it looks like you've cleared it. So, Hero's Journey, it's your turn again.
Do we have to do another piloting check, or are we just moving?
No, for this you're just actually doing your movement.
All right. Going to about here.
All right. At that juncture, your entire front end, like your entire front whisker panel, goes dark. Mm-hmm. And like some of your instrumentation on the starboard side goes out.
Shit. All right. Try and correct a little bit if I can. Try and move to the... It was right?
The starboard side went out, so your right side.
All right, so move left then?
Probably.
Right, like here-ish?
Yeah. All right, so as you adjust your course, you notice the instrumentation comes back on and your front panel of whiskers illuminates once more.
All right.
The starboard edge of your whiskers, however, is dimmer than usual. So you can kind of like feel out the border of that blob.
Right. So we'll just move about here then.
Yep. Okay. Proud Rock. That's your done. Proud Rock.
Okay, this is gonna make for wonderful episodic treatment for the viewers.
I know. But I'm playing this for you guys and everyone else can just listen.
Fair enough.
I mean, with the magic of edit.
I mean, I could. I could theoretically, if I cared to, like, make this into a video production. But so far, I'm liking the radio teleplay motion.
Yeah. All right, move again.
Yep. Okay. So you are up, and you, Proud Rock, have managed to avoid any contact with the dead magic zone.
All right. Going down to about here.
Going downtown and it earlier around, and nothing is happening.
Going to notice that. Just keep going a little further.
You are okay.
Just a little further to you.
You are okay.
Does that move? Or
that is your move.
Okay.
For the record, Val starts playing that on the ship's phone.
Fallout Boy.
Of course.
Willow's eye visibly twitches in, you know, annoyance. And she looks over and then just...
Oh, fine. Okay. I'll put on Casey Musgraves the 14th.
Willow holds up her iPod and says, "When I'm driving, my mix."
Well, everybody on board the Rock is completely badgered with...
Can't stop the Rock. Can't stop the Rock. Can't stop the Rock.
I was gonna make another reference, but yeah, no.
Just endless loops of Indiana Jones running through that boulder. Just every view screen is you're the man now, dog.com. Deep internet cut. This is ADD&D, people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Hero's Journey. Your movement.
Right. Keep going forward a little bit.
Okay, so far so good.
Trusting the whiskers.
Whoa, it's getting a little dark on your port side.
Port side is
left.
Left, right. So
no, move left.
Move to all right.
Yeah, no, your port side looks fine, but just as you finish this lateral shift, you notice that it's starting to get a little dark on the right side now, starboard.
Right, so
I just realized where the gunner seat is. Every time the right side gets dark, yeah. My LEDs turn off.
All right, you're looking good now. You're clear on both sides.
All right,
plenty bright.
Move forward then. To about here, is that move?
That'll do.
Right,
Proud Rock, you're up.
Okay, so I want it noted that as I come up behind the Hero's Journey, I have shifted 90 degrees so that I am where they're horizontal. I am now on the vertical plane, basically doing half of a barrel roll. I'm going through there.
So you've rotated your ship from like this plane to this plane.
Sure. Again.
Like you're going from here to here.
Yes, exactly that.
So you're trying to narrow your profile on the lateral. I got you.
Just thread the needle.
Well, the whole thing is, I didn't actually think about this until I saw the hero's journey doing the specific movement from port to starboard.
Right.
All I wanted to do was just rotate the ship just out of nothing but boredom from following another ship.
Oh.
But it just happened to work out by trying to fly in between two dead zones.
I mean, okay.
Our tech gets the zoomies, and it's actually helpful. More at 11.
All right, sure. I mean, like, go ahead and make me a piloting check just to make sure that you don't, in the course of trying to do this, roll, like, actually haul yourself into a dead magic zone. But I'm sure you'll be fine.
Let's see.
Don't crit one. Don't crit one.
27.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. No, you're fine. You are able to execute a perfectly tasteful barrel roll, and somewhere the ghost of a hare like sheds one tear. So you're fine. Hero's journey, you're up.
I think I'm the only one that caught that fucking reference.
No, I got it.
Okay. You didn't react as much as I was expecting for that one.
That's fine.
Here.
Okay. You are behind you, East, now, from my perspective. Okay, hi. There, I see you.
Here.
Still good.
Yep. To here.
All right.
Is that a move?
That is your move, and that is still okay.
All right.
Like, I'm kind of disgusted with myself. Y'all managed to find, like, almost the straightest line through this entire fucking puzzle. I feel a little bit like Papyrus right now. With the randomized floor tile puzzle, and it just turned into like that one stripe. You don't remember that shit?
No.
All right, before, Proud Rock. Yep.
Coming up behind. Oh, nice.
Excellent.
So now I'm completely upside down in whatever rear view camera that you've got.
Yeah.
For no other reason than I thought it was funny, and it apparently happened to work out better that way.
Yes.
Rearview camera? No, I'm just poking my head out the window.
You can't roll the windows down on a spaceship.
Yeah. That's how you kill everyone.
Yeah.
No.
That's called explosive decompression. Mm-hmm. All right. Hero's journey.
All right. Continuing to move.
This will be your last necessary move action. Beyond this, you should be free.
All right. And
still nothing
here.
You catch a little bit of a little like dimming on the starboard side, but it's fairly faint.
Right. Nautical terms are
starboard. It's the right side.
Okay.
Put it this way: port and left have the same amount of letters.
Ah, okay.
That's fair.
You know what? It's better than what anyone else has ever given me. I'll take it.
Right here.
Hold out, star, but hold posh with a capital P.
Is that better?
Focus, universe, focus.
I am extremely focused. I'm also extremely intoxicated.
Look, he already said it's ADD&D.
And the A is for alcohol.
Versus under the influence, kids.
Yes, I am existing. I'm existing under the influence. You are clear, Hero's Journey. You have officially, according to the buoys, passed through the dead magic cluster,
nice.
and have navigated to the edge of the Nyx system. Ahead of you lies the Nyx perimeter asteroid belt, and you have a clear path now to Dr. Bolas's asteroidal space station. As you approach, you will get a ping on the comms, both of your ships.
Right.
Basically, it's audio only.
Mm-hmm.
But the placeholder icon for the video call that is not going to be shown appears to be some kind of a crudely drawn cartoon character with like big curly like arcs for eyes and an absurdly huge mouth and a coffee mug for some reason. And you'll hear like a kind of a thin, like reedy, slightly nasally voice go,
Granny told me you would be coming. Come on in and dock at stations 1 and 37. Everything else is full right now.
How's that?
I already want to torpedo this place into oblivion.
Wait, I heard that.
Kala, please behave.
We do have the ordnance for it.
I said I want to. I didn't say I was about to launch.
He can hear you. We're in open comm right now.
We'll shut off the comms to Val's thing and just go, apologies, on approach.
Granny, Promethea hired you guys?
It's a surprise to us, too.
Hired? Are we getting paid?
I mean, we get to live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Is that good enough?
God, the universe is gonna die.
But it's you muted my mic out of everyone else.
And then the comm line will close, and like your computer systems will basically get a ping from docking control saying, mm-hmm. you know, here's your recommended flight path to get into the docking stations.
So can I completely ignore that and just make my own path?
Make me a piloting check at disadvantage because you're flying through an asteroid field. They gave you a recommended course for a reason.
Yeah, no. When have I ever done anything that was recommended?
Meanwhile, Willow is sailing through on the recommended course and the track is switched over to Sister Golden Hair by America.
Okay, so next week on Quest for the Quantum Rose, we start a brand new quest with brand new characters.
No, wait.
No, I'm kidding.
Only three of them are on that show.
Oh, yeah, only...
Go ahead and make me your piloting check, though.
You want to take a spacewalk real quick?
Yeah, hold on, though. Is the hero's journey going to go rogue? And
no, hero's journey is sticking to the recommended path.
Okay, good.
And Val is pouring herself a drink to deal with the cowards doing that.
Did you say 28 and a 23?
Yes, at disadvantage. So okay. 23.
All right. All right.
Well, would you like a drink, dear?
So
I don't drink and drive.
So yeah. In spite of like every expectation and in spite of quite a lot of like zippy asteroids piloting like flying around you, Kalahari is able to somehow drift sideways and back the Proud Rock perfectly into spot number one.
That is exactly what I was hoping to do. Fuck yes. Drifting my own ship into port. I love it.
It's kind of embarrassing, honestly. So go ahead and make me a piloting check to park the hero's journey in slot 37.
Right. Open this back up.
I have a shot in one hand 25. And a shot in another waiting for when she's ready.
25.
Okay. So you look a bit like a Me Too bitch, but you do the same exact move.
As soon as we're docked, I just put it down on the table, put it down on the like station next to her and just...
Alright, so there's actually no one to greet you at the dock, believe it or not. There is just like the interior here is it's fairly like I would say undecorated, right? Like there's no effort spared here for aesthetic. It is purely functional in its design. Bare metal, you know, LED lights, that kind of thing. It all actually looks very industrial somehow. The designs don't look familiar particularly. And Val, you come to realize this is actually like, this is Gnome Tech construction inside of what looks like Space Kobold Warrens.
Did some training clearing out one and did some training learning from the other. Okay. This is... Oh, wow. Val starts taking notes.
Yeah. So the interiors here are all covered by basically an atmospheric force field. So you can breathe outside of it, but it looks like it's a combination of bare rock in places where it looks like it's been dug out or hewn in some places. And you notice that there's actually a fair amount of, rather than picks, almost claw marks in the rock. Big ones. But where there's metal, it's industrial, it's like very like rigid steel kind of construction, a lot of harsh blue lighting. You know, you see the occasional spark of electricity here and there. Actual proper electricity too, not that magic shit. There are, in both of those two docking bays, 1 and 37, the floors actually have lights illuminating and leading out into the corridors. And that's where we're going to stop for the night as we prepare to explore Dr. Bolas' station next episode on the quest for the Quantum Rose. So, let's do some plugs now.
I guess I can go first. Is this okay?
Let everyone else go first. I'm just
okay, January.
January Silence at January underscore silence on Twitter. Pretty sure it's down in the description. It is kind of questionable, so just follow your own risk. I do have a side project Twitter called at Library Sphinx for my homebrew projects. You can find them over on DM's Guild under the Sphinx Library. Currently, there's only two, the College of Dragonsong Bard subclass and the Godbow Sorceress Origin subclass. However, apologies, keep a lookout before Wizards of the Coast drops Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft next month. I'm going to try and have out a fitting subclass for that guide, which is the Oath of the Blood King Paladin. If you ever want to play Alucard from Castlevania, this is going to be something you'll want to look at.
Do I? Actually, yeah, I really super do. Sounds awesome.
Honestly, not going to lie, I would look at the subclass if Val bit the dust. Not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, sword familiar, Dompier powers, being a sexy, angsty vampire.
You can even turn into a wolf.
I mean, all things I can do in real life, I would love to do this in a game.
Yeah, I had to work on whether or not that particular feature was going to be overpowered or not. But yeah, just keep an eye out for it. If it's something that you might be interested in, pass it on. I would like to have these projects be a little bit more regular or get more of them out. I have a lot more one of them coming that okay. I'd like to be able to fund the art for. So yeah, that's about it.
Hit me with some of your design ideas if they've passed like the stress test stuff, and we'll see if we can't work in some of them for playtesting here.
I haven't like play tested a lot of them. I've mainly ran them by Cat. And
oh, okay. Well, that's Cat
and Kev have okayed a couple of them, but if you want to look at them, I can shoot you some of the ones I have up on Home Brewery right now.
Sure, please. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've done January. Who was born in February? Oh,
that's damn it. All right. Would Sage or Yuis, would you guys like to do your plugs before I do the end of plug roundup that I usually do?
The plug everybody thing you do?
Yes, because I basically get anything that's missing out of my own stuff.
I mean, well, mine is very simple. I do art. Follow me on Twitter. If you like what you see and want to see a little bit more, follow me on Patreon. I mean, no, like sign up on Patreon, whatever you call it. That helps me a lot, actually. Without Patreon, I couldn't make this my full-time job. So yeah,
Patreon is that man.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, he is excellent at making like both the awesome art and the sexy art.
I follow that Patreon. 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100. Absolutely worth it. Anyone that's listening. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Say US has also been featured in some of my homebrew stuff and was actually kind enough to lend the cover art for the Godbow Sorcerer.
Didn't you also do the Dragon Song Bard art with like the pipe as well?
Yeah, Yuis did the magic items for it. My friend Amara did the cover art, and she's also doing the cover art for the Blood King Paladin.
Oh, nice. Okay. But yes, Yuis, he does amazing artwork. Check him out on Patreon. Go subscribe. Sage, do you want to plug some other games that you're in?
Actually do this time around, because on Scotty's channel on Wednesdays, we are coming to a close of the combination Humblewood and Curse of Strahd called Mists of Kryn's Valley.
Oh, shit.
We just re-entered Castle Ravenloft, and it feels like a final countdown. It is literally the last thing that we are practically going to be able to do for this campaign, or at least that's what it feels like.
Resisting the urge to break out in the Europe.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's definitely worth looking into. It's been a blast to play, especially with all of our friends, but we are also planning on moving to the next one after we're done with Mists of Kryn's Valley, which is Rime of the Frostmaiden, I think it was pronounced.
Oh yeah, that'll be fun. Enjoy that.
We're definitely looking forward to both the end of this one, hopefully on a good note, and the beginning of the next one.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but this is
The Curse of Strahd. I have expected to die around every corner, and I almost did in the very first episode, so
I already died.
Yeah, I was gonna say is your Tim Tam post fucked me up today, man.
Yeah, that had me a little bit sad too, not gonna lie.
Scotty's reply, though, I will say Scotty's reply that was apropos, but it also was very like, wow. Wow.
I cannot even have closure, because every time I think I have like dealt with it, he comes back as a ghost. So yeah.
Oh well, tell Scotty to stop fucking torturing you people.
He can't. It is literally the Curse of Strahd.
I know.
However, I do believe he does plan on closure for everybody, because that's how he did it on Avernus. So I have a feeling that once we finish, we do get closure one way or the other.
Yeah,
but that's good. That's my plug.
Good fucking luck. And I say that in all seriousness, but it's Ravenloft, so not hopeful. Yeah. Marianne?
Oh, right. So.
Take it home, baby.
First things first on the reel. The second thing, so going back to that, Scotty_Hood, Hood spelled with 2 0s instead of O's. We've been plugging that every single game. If you haven't followed that, what the heck you doing? Go do that right now. Their game is finishing up, and that same time slot, if not mistaken, will be Rime of the Frostmaiden, in which myself, January, Yuis, and Sage will all be playing. Look forward to that.
Damn, you mean Scotty gets a hold of all of you before me next time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, that's not gonna happen until at least next month.
Okay, but like, it's Rime of the Frostmaiden, so not Ravenloft. Hopefully you won't be emotionally traumatized before my games next time.
Hopefully not.
Babe, I'm gonna have a whole nother character to emotionally traumatize. It's not gonna be a copy and paste of Val this time.
I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about the players.
Heck, you have Captain, I can take it.
There's like, what? There's three short stacks and a couple people who are fairly normal size. But no, four. Forgot about your bard.
Why you gotta be sizes about it though? Like short stacks. Like, what the fuck?
Well, it's okay.
I mean, it's Jewish's specialty.
Okay, like I
Yuis
know.
Drew a hot MILF goblin. What do you want from us?
Fair. But at the same time, like, does everybody have to be pancakes? Like,
anyway, go follow Scotty_Hood with 2 0s instead of O's on Twitch, dot whatever.
Twitch.tv,
yes.
Scotty_H00D.
Yes. In addition to that, obviously go check out Yuis. His art is incredible. And in addition to Yuis, go check out @IagoLender. Yeah. Her art is wonderful. It is cute and adorable. Whereas Yuis hits that like hard edge action, Aya has that cute chibi like So like two sides of the same beautiful coin. Have commission and work with both of them. Excellent. All around, hands down. One third artist I would like to have plugged here. Lena, hit me with that. What is Mara's @? Come on, do it for me.
Mara?
The person who did your art for Dragon Song Bard? January.
Mm-hmm. Amara?
Yes, Amara.
Amara is Samara's thing.
While you're looking that up,
what about Capt Cali?
Yeah.
Capt Cali?
Oh, yeah,
Floyd
Cali.
At Capt Cali as well, and another, just wonderful creatives. I am very fortunate to have been pulled into this, you know, group that is our Discord server. We have a lot of really great creatives, like artists that just slap your face off with beautiful work left and right. Like, oh my god. Like, Yuise, every time you post a thick goblin, I'm not okay for the next hour or so. I want you to know this, and I want you to revel in that fact.
And there's like one or two every week, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's not okay a whole lot.
Yeah.
Fair. I
found it. It's at Mama Burger, spelled B-U-R-R-G-E-R. They did the cover art, yeah.
At Mama Burger, one more incredible artist. I know she wants to do a lot more D&D art. And the last plug I have for the evening, because every other plug is very self-inherent to the game, is a really good friend of mine. Go to this, you know, this is an Instagram account, katie.diggs.dinos. Katie spelled K-A-T-I-E. That is my good friend Kate's, you know, paleontology account. Is a professional account, but if you want to see really cool rocks, dinosaur stuff, like incredible stuff, the kind of stuff that I subject all my friends to willingly or not,
subjecting the audience to now.
Yes, yes. you had me in your game. You knew this was going to happen.
I feel like we're getting a bit far afield, and here we're going to wrap it, hun.
Yeah, this is, like I said, my last one.
Fine.
Just go check that out. Really cool friend of mine. Lots of good dinosaur stuff. Take it away.
So, with all that in mind, we will catch you next week as we explore the interior of this weird asteroid starbase and meet Dr. Nikolai Bolas and figure out just how in the heck y'all were supposed to fuck with time. Goodbye, everybody.
Well, I'm
back.
Bye.
Good night. Dark Matter is copyright Mage Hand Press. Check them out at mfov.magehandpress.com. Sound effects by Sirenscape Online, the premier solution for your virtual tabletop RPG sound effects needs. $22 every other month gets you access to Sirenscape's library of hundreds of curated music and sound effect packages. From swords to spells to starships, if you need sound, you need Sirenscape Online. Check them out at sirenscape.com. Zap the Laser Corgi and Snickle Socks, if you appear today, appear courtesy of the Retroverse. Check them out at latersandliches.com. Radical.